We're in Genesis chapter 12 today. I started talking about encounters with God a few weeks ago and talked about how it is that we need to listen for God, to be still and know that He is God. And rightfully so. We need to have some time to listen for that still small voice of God. Be still and know that He's God. That whisper of a voice. Not in the thunder, not in the lightnings, but for that still small voice. And oftentimes we are so about the business of church, we miss out on the blessing of God. And we need to stop and listen. And hopefully this summer we've not had any Sunday evening activities. Things have been a little light as far as the responsibilities around the ministries of the church. Of course, our Sunday morning schedule hasn't changed any. But even Wednesday night, some of the attendance has been down a little bit because of people traveling and whatnot. But hopefully we've had a chance to just breathe a little bit and to relax a little bit and think about the things that God is doing in our church. And what God is doing in and through our lives. It's really a blessing. We need to listen for God. Last week we talked about Adam and Eve being in the garden and how they were walking with God. And I asked you, how was your walk with God last week? Because if you're listening for God and you're walking with God, then it goes without saying that you should be following God. I asked Andrew in a text, what song would you like to do Sunday, since it'll be your last Sunday up there? And he mentioned that song, I Will Follow. And I thought, well, our praise band has never done that song before. The youth praise band has done it once, but the adult praise band has not done that before. But after naming the message, Following God, how can we not sing, I Will Follow? So it seems like a no-brainer. Sometimes it's very clear what you need to do. And I'm thankful that we was able to do that song this morning. But we're going to learn what it means to follow God today. We're listening for God. We want to walk with God. Now we want to see God directing our path and directing our life. Why is it important that we do this? If we know God, we've heard His voice, and we feel like we're kind of walking with Him, why do we need to be following Him? Well, in the call of Abraham, we see in Genesis chapter 12, the Abrahamic covenant, where God makes a covenant, a promise with Abraham to make him the father of a great nation. Look at the text, chapter 12, beginning in the first verse. It said, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all the possessions they had gathered and all the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to a place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moriah. And the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord, whom he had who had appeared to him. May the Lord add the blessings to the reading of His word. Well, what a great encounter! You know, in a lot of ways, this is a joy for pastors when you're looking at some of the great text of the Bible. And we're getting to spend some time in the Old Testament, something that I don't seem to do a lot of in my preaching and things like. But looking back at some of these great encounters that people have had with God that has really shaped our faith as we know it today. Because Abraham is certainly an example of great faith, because it says in the Scriptures how he was faithful and it was counted for him as righteousness because he believed God. He put his faith and trust in God. Faith is important. And we can say we have a faith in a lot of things. We can say we believe in a lot of things, but it's not faith in itself. It's not belief in itself. It's the object of our faith. It's God that is the most important. And that's why we want to listen for God. That's why we want to know what it's like to walk with God. What is it that helps us maintain that fellowship with God? That's what it was last week, that fellowship with God. And then we want to seek His leading in our lives. Why do we need to follow God? Well, what's the advantage of that? Let's see. Why should we follow God? All right, I've got three answers for you today from this text. First of all, because His timing is perfect. Because His timing is perfect. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful for God's timing? Remember the song? I know Gail remembers it. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Remember that one we used to sing around quite a bit? That was a great song. He may not come when you want Him, but He'll be there right on time. His timing is always perfect because oftentimes we get way ahead of God. And we're wondering why in the world are we not enjoying the blessing in this life now, only to find out there's a much greater blessing lying ahead. Or there's something that God was protecting us from. You know, I know some of you guys are probably trying to win the lottery, you know, and you hadn't won it yet, and you're not going to. So my suggestion is put your lottery money in the offering plate, and then you will get a blessing. Guaranteed. Every time works that way. But the time hasn't come yet. And your chances of winning that is like greater than getting struck by lightning 15 times in a row. So don't worry about it. So the timing with God is everything. And if we're listening for God and we have fellowship with God, He will show you when that time is right. Abraham is living in a very interesting time in world history. In chapter 12, we see the introduction here of Abraham and this promise that God has made with him. In chapter 11 of the book of Genesis, we see the famous Tower of Babel. And we see a lot of things have occurred in just the first 11 chapters of Genesis already up to this point. And we could go back and we could look at some of the other things like the flood with Noah and all that other stuff. And that certainly is a great encounter with God. And we may actually go backwards in a couple of weeks and pick up that one and see his interaction that he had with God. But in the Tower of Babel, people are curious about God. Matter of fact, it says in chapter 11, it says, why don't we build us a tower and ascend into the heights of the heaven? And they made it with brick and mortar and stone. Verse 4, chapter 11 says, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, and let's make a name for ourselves, lest we scatter it all over the face of the earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And He confused the language. And even now, when we see in the New Testament days, when we see the Holy Spirit ascending, we see Him speaking in tongues in that time. And what it is a reverse of the curse that has taken place when this Tower of Babel effect took place. But yet they're longing, they have this longing for things that are of a heavenly nature. You know, I can't say that the Christian faith is a growing faith anymore. Matter of fact, it seems like it's declining proportionally as the population of the globe continues to increase. I can't say the Christian faith is growing, but I still believe there's a hunger for things of a religious manner. And people have this hunger for something. They know something is missing, and I truly believe they're searching. And the problem is, now there's been so many alternatives presented as godly alternatives that are nothing, that are far from it. They have this hunger for the things of a God, but they're missing out on the God. So they have people trying to build a tower into heaven and confuses the language. And he says, all right, I'll make a covenant with Abram, and you'll be the father of a great nation. In the land that they're in the land of Ur, the god of the moon, I can't remember his name, the moon god that is found there, is prevalent in that area. And I think about what's on the Islamic symbol is a crescent moon today. And we see the rise of the Muslim faith all across the world. Matter of fact, this travel warning that went out covered all the Muslim countries. You ever heard of a travel warning going out in all the Christian countries? They don't seem to happen very often, does it? But yet there's a hunger for a knowledge of God. And because His timing is perfect, God is going to reveal Himself to the Abram to be the father of a great nation. Just a couple of verses that talk about His timing. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. But with God, timing is everything. I like what it says over in Esther, what Mordecai told Esther, says, yet who knows whether you have come to this kingdom for such a time as this. Folks, if there's ever been a time for a great awakening, for a spiritual awakening to occur, if there's ever been a hunger for something beyond ourselves, but yet people are confused about where to look, wouldn't you say that for such a time as this would apply now? It's out there. It's all over the place. Just flip through the 229 channels you have on your basic cable and the 2,589 channels you have on your satellite dish or whatever it happens to be. And you can see all kinds of TV shows on there trying to show people how they may know peace within themselves or how they may know some kind of higher power. And occasionally you find one that tells you how they can know the living God. That the time is there. God's timing is perfect. God called Abram out of a pagan world to make a covenant with him, to make a promise with him. We have the new covenant now through the blood of Jesus Christ. The promise is now. God's timing is now. Don't make me get Debbie up here and tell you about it now. God's calling you. You need to do it. You need to respond. God is at work. Oftentimes, I find myself waiting for the church to get to a certain point so we can do something, forgetting the fact that God's already got us to this point to do something now. And we're faithful with the little things. God will bless us with the bigger things. So be faithful with what you have. Trust in God's timing. It's a great time right now for the gospel. There's a hunger out there. God's timing is indeed perfect. So why should you follow God? Why should we follow God? Well, His timing is perfect. That's one reason. Another reason is this. Because His promise is precious. His promise is precious. All right, you see that in verses 2 and 3. It says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. The reason why it's singular on the screen is because it's singular here in the text. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In His promises precious to us. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God? That's why the little Bible is called the Precious Promises or Precious Memory or Precious Promises Bible, I think that is. There's one of those as well. That's why we sing about the precious memories and how they linger and how they ever fill our soul. Because we know that His promises are precious to us. And it's precious to Abram as well as God is revealing Himself to him. Why is that? Because it is His promise. It's His promise. It's God's promise. Notice in the Abrahamic covenant here, what the Lord says, all right, back in verse 1, to the land that I will show you. Verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed through you, through your family. It's God making this promise. He doesn't say, now, Abram, if you do this, I'll do that. It's not that kind of conditional promise. This is an unconditional promise made by God to Abram to be the father of a great nation. And it's His promise so we can count on it. When you go back to chapter 11 in the Tower of Babel, it talks about all the things they're going to do for themselves. We're going to make for ourselves a great name. We're going to do all these wonderful things. And the whole world will be looking to us to know that we are those people that got in touch with God. But it was all based upon their ability and their activity to approach God. And folks are still like that today in many ways. People think they're going to be good enough to earn God's favor. And therefore it's going to be through their own merit that they gain their salvation is what they think. Kind of like old Lucifer when he was before the fall. He's going to rise up above the throne of God in glory. He said, I will be like the Most High. And God struck him down. And we see the fall of Satan. It's His promises so we can count on it. You know, we try to be true to our promises. We try to be true to our word. But sometimes my promises are bigger than I can deliver, and I hate to say that, but that's the case. And I try to be faithful to my word, try to be a man of my word, but sometimes you bite off more than you can chew. You ever do that? I've done that before, but you say, no kidding yet. I'm not telling you nothing you don't already know. I've been here for almost 20 years. Anyway, but with God, His word is true, and we count on it. It's His promise. Do you trust in His promises today? I think about the Great Commission. As He says all these wonderful things about going you therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And He ends out with, and lo, I'm with you always. God is always going to be with us. That's His promise. His promised presence is there. It's His promise, but it's also His purpose. It's also His purpose. His promise is precious because it expresses His purpose for the world, His purpose for mankind, His purpose for us being here trying to make sense out of a life that doesn't make sense. But yet when we think about it in the context of a loving God and a loving creation, as we talked about last week, through all the wonderful things that He created and the wonderful animals He created and the wonderful fishes He created and the wonderful universes that He created us with a specific purpose to have fellowship with Him. That is a great blessing. It's a fulfillment of His purpose. So when we see the blessings of God, when we see the promises of God, when we see the idea of following God, we want to know we're fulfilling His purpose. That's one reason why it's important. We tie into that Henry Blackaby thing about finding where God is working and joining Him there because He's fulfilling His purpose. Well, we're not trying to come up with something new for God to do. He's got it all under control. We just need to see where He's working and join Him there. It's His purpose. That's why we follow Him, because His promise is precious. And all that we want to be about, doing God's work when He calls us home. We want to be about His business when He calls us home. Because His promises, His promise is precious. Last point. Why should we follow God? Because His assurance is present. His assurance is present. All right, you see that? Verse 4 says, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him." And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And most people I know about 75 years old are ready to quit. What do you think? They say, "Well, I've already done all I can do. It's time to turn it over to the younger generation. And I'm pushing 50. I got a couple of weeks to go before that time comes on." So, yum, yum. So, Martha, I can join the half century club. I remember when they started that. I don't know where they started it, but when we came to Marshall 20 years ago, Martha and Franklin was in charge of the half century club, and they said, "You don't have to worry about the senior citizens at church. We got it covered through the half century club and everything all that." I thought, well, that's a bunch of old people over there, so that's good. They're taken care of. Well, it's coming in a couple of weeks, so we'll be there. There's one restaurant I found I can already get a discount in 2 weeks. That's pretty cool. So I don't remember which one. I got to remember which one it was. But we saw it somewhere. But it's amazing how time flies by. 75 years old when he departed from Haran. He's probably worn. He's probably tired. But yet he's still willing to follow the Lord. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions they had gathered, and all the people who they acquired in Haran, and they departed to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Now, some people say there's actually some compromise here, that Abram wasn't really true 100% to the promise that God had made him, to the instructions that God had given him. He told him not. He didn't say anything about all this. He said, "Get out from your country and from your family to from your father's house to the land that I'll show you." But yet, he brought these along with him. Matter of fact, some of it caused him problems. You know the problems Abram had with Lot, and it seemed like that was a constant friction between the two until they decided to part and go their separate ways. Again, it's important that we follow the word of God. But it says in verse 6, though, that Abram passed through the land of the place of Shechem as far as the terebinth tree of Moriah, and the Canaanites went to the land, and the Lord appeared there to him there. Well, what's the key here? The two T's. One is the first, Abram went. All right? He's not called Abraham yet here. He's called Abram. But he went. He went. And that's a key element. You know, you know the old saying about Peter getting out of the boat and he sank when he took his eyes off of Jesus and he cried out in weakness and Jesus told him, you know, to keep your eyes on me and all that. And we say at least Peter got out of the boat. He was willing to at least start his journey. And then the chaos came into his life and the worry came in and he started to sink. But at least he got out of the boat. Well, Abram went. God told him to go and he went. Well, we need to have that action to our faith. Even James says, faith without works is what? It's dead. But he's willing to express his faith. He's willing to live his faith as he followed the direction of God. He went. It's one thing that he experienced the presence of God and this encounter with God. I guess if you were sitting out in your yard on a pretty Sunday afternoon and God spoke to you and said, I will make you a great nation. I will make Megan a great nation. And I will bless you and your name will be great and all this other stuff, that you'd probably want to dwell on that a little while. I mean, me and God, we've got it together. It's a great relationship that we have. I still don't like that country song that I heard, Me and God are Two Peas in a Pod. I don't like that. I don't think we're supposed to be that cozy in that kind of sense. But yet, I think we would just dwell on the fact that we had the encounter with God, and maybe we wouldn't even do anything with it. But yet, even today, as you go back to the verse 3, I will bless those that bless you, I'll curse those who curse you. That's why it's important that we maintain a relationship with Israel. But because Israel is based upon the foundation of what we're seeing here, and if we're blessing the thing that God blesses, God's going to bless us as well. It's important for us to stand in the midst of all those Muslim countries, one that is willing to selected by God as God's chosen people. So we can do that. But yet Abram went, and that's what we need to be thinking about. We need to be doing it. We don't just simply need to bask in the fact that we've had this encounter with God. But we need to ask ourselves, what was that encounter for? Why did God reveal Himself to us? Why did God show us such a great blessing in the service this morning? Why is God doing such a great work in your family right now? Why is God blessing you with a great job right now? Something that you know that you don't deserve, but somehow or another God opened the door and you're there. Why did He do that? Don't just enjoy it. You can't enjoy it, but don't just enjoy it. But see if God's got a purpose behind it. Abram went, and God was with him. God was with him. You see that again in verse 7. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And he built an altar to the Lord whom he had appeared. Even down in verse 8 it says, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on his west and Ai on the east, and he built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord. He pitched his tent between Bethel and Ai. He pitched his tent. But by saying the tent, it dedicates or indicates the fact that he is a stranger and a pilgrim. He's not building a lodging place. He knows that he's going to follow God wherever he leads. So he has a temporary structure to carry around with him. So he's a stranger and a pilgrim, just as we are in this world today. How many of you think you're going to be here forever? Anybody? All right, ain't going to happen. I can guarantee you that. We're passing through this land until we go to the promised land, which God has promised us. There's a lot of gospel songs about that, that's for sure. But yet he built an altar. He pitched a tent. But he built an altar showing that he was a citizen of heaven and that God was with him. He built the rock. He built the altar. He built something stable, something that would last, representing his relationship with God. And God was with him. Why do we follow him? Because his assurance is present. And he sees that as God reappears to him again in verse 7. And he makes this promise to him, to your descendants I will give this land. And we're going to see that happening in the generations to follow. Bethel on one side, the house of God is what that means. Ai is on the other side. You remember Ai? Joshua had a little bit of trouble in Ai, didn't he? One of the battles that they had as they came in. And the word Ai literally means ruin, is what it means. Between a ruin and the house of God, he's there heading to the presence of God. Thomas Fuller was a 17th century Puritan preacher, said that there's three classes of people. Listen carefully to these. One, the intenders. The intenders. You know anybody like that? The intenders. Not Nintendo's, but intenders, all right? They intend to do great things for God, right? I've been meaning to get around to that. I need to do better about that. I need to be faithful to do that. I've been intending to come to Sunday school, Rollin, but I just hadn't made it yet. I've been intending on coming on Wednesday night for the Bible study, Pastor, but we just hadn't made it over there yet. I've been intending to do better. You got great intentions. They're out there. You got great intentions. ideas, and you want to do something with them. You're the intenders. But then there's also the endeavorers. I'll put them all three on there, didn't I? Anyway, the endeavorers. That they start out on a great endeavor for God. They start out strong for God. They start out with great ideas for God. And they get going. And you see that a lot happen in young Christians especially. That they get on fire because they've given their faith to Christ. They've trusted in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They're ready to attack hell with a water pistol. But then 2 years later, you can't find them. You don't know where they're at anymore. They've set off on a great endeavor, but it just doesn't seem to last very much. A lot like the parable of the soils. The endeavorers, they're out there. And a lot of times they can leave themselves hanging. They can leave others hanging because they've endeavored to do great things, but yet they don't follow through. But then we find the people like Abram, the performers, the ones who can truly get it done. You know, when you look at that list of the three classes of people, I can see all of us represented there. I see myself in all three classes in some areas of my life. And even with in my religious walk, in my spiritual walk, in my walk with God, there's a lot of things I intend to do. There's a lot of things I endeavor to do. And there's some things I do get done. But yet we need to be focused on following God. If God is truly leading us, if God is truly showing us something, then we need to be where God wants us to be. And we don't just need to be intenders. We don't need to be just endeavorers. We need to be performers of His will. Again, Abram pitched his tent between Ai, which means ruin, and Bethel, that means house of God. And he continues his journey in the presence of God, following God as he leads. The question this morning is, are you following God?